We're speaking tonight on the wheat and the tares. We noticed in the morning message this morning, and we'll see tonight that the eternal God goes to nature to teach us great truths of the gospel. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, read verse 24 down to verse 30. And then a few more verses in this same chapter. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. He knew that the tares need no cultivation. They'll take care of themselves. They grow. They don't require any water, any sunshine, anything else. They just grow. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, said to Jesus, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And the Lord said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. They're closely tied together. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat in to my barn. The note of verse 36, Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. Disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Seven parables in this chapter. They said, We understand all of them except this one. It's a little deep, Jesus. If you don't mind, comment a little further. He answered and said unto them, He that sowed the good seed, and underscore good seed, is the Son of Man. And he said, The field is the world. See, they preached all over the country, put tires in the church, that isn't so. The field is the world, see. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the devil. Now, you wouldn't need any commentary on that, would you? All right. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. You wouldn't need any commentary on that. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. You wouldn't need any commentary on that, would you? As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom the things that offend and them which do iniquity. See, the things and them are going to be taken away. We ain't going nowhere. I better get that in your head. You going somewhere, you going to hell, brother. We ain't going nowhere. Talk about a rapture and a rupture. Listen to this, Lord. Listen to this thing. Gather them out of the kingdom and cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then's an adverb of time. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. God takes all this stuff out and goes to use us to take it out, root it out, cast it out. Then there'll be nothing wrong with this situation around here. Then we're going to shine and shout too. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'm coming tonight to deal with the most profound phase of the gospel that I think can be found anywhere. I want you tonight to hear me and to hear me well. I want you to sit still and cry to God while I move with deliberate speed in expounding the scriptures on the wheat and the tares. And there's five great things that stand out, five great truths that stand out in the verses which we read to you. First thing you see is two seeds. There's the good seed and the bad seed. And we're told plainly the good seed are the children of the kingdom. And the bad seed are the children of the devil. You wouldn't need any commentary on that, but no use coming to me asking me what that means. It's just, that's it. You have two seeds. Second, you have two sowers. One is a good sower, and the other one is a devil sower. The good sower is the prophet of God, sowing the word of God, preaching, and the bad sower is the devil called preachers, and they're sowing tares, and we're sowing wheat. Two harvests. There's time coming when the tares are going to be bound, they're going to be bundled, bound and burned. You have your three B's. They'll be bound, bundled and burned. You have two destinies. One is the lake of fire where the tires are going to be cast. The other is here in this world, and the righteous shall shine forth in the kingdom of our fathers. Nothing wrong with this world, just the stuff that's in it. Nothing wrong with God's kingdom. You don't talk about going to heaven. Shoot, you don't need to go anywhere. Thus, you've got to fight the fight. Let's get in and go to looking. We've always talked about heaven, the beautiful isles of somewhere, but nobody knows where. And we're missing this whole thing because we have not seen the truth of the gospel. There is the fifth great truth that's in these verses, and that's the great separation. You and I cannot conceive such an hour when God separates the wheat from the chaff. Such an hour when God separates the wheat from the tares. The two are growing in the same field, and the field is the world, not the church. Quit listening to those pecker-headed preachers. Take this Bible and say what it says. In God's true church, not a tire in it, not a hypocrite in it, not a one. No, no. The devil isn't sowing tires there, putting them in this world to build up the army of the Antichrist, and we need to see and to know the strategies of Satan and all that he is doing. So, you notice in Matthew 13:30, let both grow together, not in the church, in the world. You try and turn fellows out of church and now challenge preachers over the country. Show me in the Bible to turn anybody out of the church. You can't turn them in, you can't turn them out. So why listen to that, Dominic? No Bible for that. We got that out of the Roman Catholic Church. That both go together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first. Talk about the rapture coming first. You're going to burn the tires first. Gather together first the tires. And they're going to do four things with these tires. They're going to be gathered. They're going to be bundled. They're going to be bound. And they're going to be burned. I remember seeing my dear old father cradling wheat. Long cradle. Swat it that way. How to throw the wheat. My dear mother following along behind. Pick up a bundle of wheat straws and put them in a bundle. Then take a part of the wheat and take another part of it and tie them in the bundles. My Lord said to hear that these tires are to be gathered and they're going to be bundled, then they're going to be bound, and then they're going to be burned. We're now in the bundling. These denominations sawing people up in sectarian sacks, and don't tell me that ain't so. There's a little sack of Baptists, a little sack of Methodists, a little sack of Presbyterians, and man started all of that. God never started it. You don't find anything like that in the Bible. That's a man-made situation. They may have went well in the beginning, but they're dead wrong. I'm going on record as a theologian and as a historian. Challenge all the heaven and hell and this earth and everything else. Just show in the Bible if I'm not correct, and I know that I am. So the tires are to be bundled and bound and burned. They're now bundling. They're going to be bound by the Antichrist, and the Antichrist himself is going to burn them. The Revelation 17:16 tells you that. So much for that. We're asking several questions tonight, and we want to move slowly, but surely, and as rapidly as we can. Question number one, what is the wheat? Well, you told us this morning. I know, but I'm going to tell you in the light of the scriptures I'm reading tonight. I told you about the wheat this morning in the light of that context. So I'm going to tell you about the wheat in the light of this context. And neither truth will contradict the other. What is the wheat? First, it's the good seed. I didn't say that this morning because it didn't belong to the scriptures I read this morning. Second, the wheat is the people of God. And third, the wheat are the children of the kingdom. And fourth, the wheat are the true believers in Christ. And fifth, the wheat are the true seed of Abraham. We dealt with that this morning. But I want to read the same scriptures, and I've been reading them almost 50 years. Every time I read them, I get something new out of it. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26-29. Are ye all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus? All. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. God doesn't save a Gentile. He doesn't save a Jew. He saves sinners. That's the reason God says it that way. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female in the body of Christ. For ye all are one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are the Abraham's seed. He had two seeds, Ishmael and Isaac. Whether you can get a hold of that or not, that's right. And Ishmael had a right father but a wrong mother. And old Ishmael had to be taken out, set him down on an oak tree and give him a bottle of water and walk off and leave that boy. Angel felt so sorry for him. He came on the scene. Then he was nurtured and formed a great nation. You are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Question number two, what is the nature of wheat? We didn't give you that this morning, but we will tonight because it appears in the context. First, wheat has power to reproduce. How about tares? We'll look at that a little bit later. Chaff cannot reproduce, but we're going to get into something tonight as we come to study. Great God has taken us to nature to teach us some phase of the gospel. What is the nature of wheat? First, it has power to reproduce. Take wheat, put in the ground, it rots and dies, decays. Out of it comes a green stalk. And as you know, after a while, there will appear the blade and the grains of wheat. Get ripe, and then you've got to take the wheat out from the chaff. In the second thing about the nature of wheat is that wheat cannot be driven as chaff. And the reason I told you this morning, wheat, when it's frailed out, drops to the ground, and 2 inches above the ground, there ain't no wind blowing. I didn't know that. Well, that's so. That's the reason they're teaching you when a storm comes to lay right flat on the ground. If you're not too big this way, you'll be safe. Lay right flat on the ground. See? That wheat falls on the ground, but that chaff is up here floating about. It's blown away, but that wheat cannot be driven by the wind. Not only that, but wheat turns to a golden color when it gets ripe, but not so with tares. Great God, that old tire, when he gets a little age on him, he turns black and smutty and stiff as an old goat's horn. That's the way I tell who a person is. When that wheat gets ripe, it goes up this way, it gets ripe, turns a golden color and bows its head, ready for the reaping. When you get old and look like God, bow your head in humility, you're fixing to be taken to heaven. God's going to take you on to his barn. But that old tire, it's black, it's stiff, and it's smutty. And not a fit for a thing in God's world. Nothing will eat it. Not only that, what is the nature of wheat? It's precious and excellent in the earth. Wheat is the most excellent thing in the earth. From that we get our good biscuits. We had some fried chicken and biscuit tonight. And I enjoyed it, and I think somebody else did too, from the looks of the bones. So, there you have it. Wheat is excellent and precious in this earth. Not only that, another nature of wheat is that wheat dies before it rises and springs up. When that wheat is put in the ground, then it's got to die. And it's got to decay and go back. Out of that comes life again. And until you and I come to where we die, great God, you've got to fall in the ground, and you've got to die, or you never will multiply. All of your guts have got to be killed. All of your arches have got to be put on the altar. All of your besetting sins have got to be forsaken. And you have got to tolerate that thorn in the flesh and stay with it. It's a form of death. All your pride. But that grain of wheat must fall and die before it rises. And you and I have got to fall and die before we rise. John 12:24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." You can take a grain of wheat lay it up in a dry place and leave it there for 1,000 years. And if water doesn't get to it and a rat doesn't get to it, you can go back and get your wheat. But you've got the same amount you had 1,000 years ago. Just one grain, that's all you got. 1,000 years have gone by. Hasn't multiplied, it hasn't done a thing in the world, only just a grain of wheat. But if it falls in the ground and dies, then out of death can come life, but life in a new form. And then it begins to multiply itself. One grain brings a stalk, and that one stalk may be 2 or 3 head. And then you start multiplying and plant all of that and keep it on. And after a while, you've got a harvest that won't quit. Question number 3. What are the tares? First, they are reprobates. Second, they are bastard wheat. They look like wheat as long as they're green. And you cannot tell which is which till they get ripe. Tyre is a bastard wheat. There is no farmer that can go out and see the green stalks and can tell the difference. And the difference only shows up when that thing gets ripe. And so for years we've been coming. We've been moving for 2,000 years. Jesus Christ became the first sower. Then he called men that followed him, and we've been sowing and sowing and sowing the good seed. And the devil has been sowing tares all the way down. And we're coming toward the end. The time is coming. Tares is going to be bundled and bound and burned. But that'll do first. Then when all of the tares are removed out of the earth and the old harlot church is burned and the demons are put in the pit and Satan put in the lake of fire, I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we shall shine, glory to God, as the sun in the kingdom of our Father. We ain't going nowhere. You better find that out and see what your job is, to buy the hill by the acres and move on. Our business, get rid of these tires and these devils, demons, whatnot. What are the tires? They're reprobates, they're bastard wheat. In the next place are the children of the devil. Don't you fool yourself, they're the children of the devil. Not only that, but these tires are sown in God's wheat field by the devil. It's the work of the devil to put these tires out here in God's wheat field. But you must remember, ladies and gentlemen, that wheat never becomes tires, and tires never become wheat. That's an eternal thing. That they grow side by side in the same field, and the sheep and the goats eat the same grass, and the good and bad fish swim in the same pond. But glory to God, there is a difference. And in the time of the harvest, God's going to send his reapers. Wouldn't you like to be a reaper to work in God's wheat field? Well, be a candidate. Everybody that ever prayed for God to send somebody to the mission field, God sent there. Isn't that strange? You better quit. About what? You start praying, oh Lord God, send us some reapers. God said, well, I'll just take you. As I could talk about, she got to praying, oh Lord God, will somebody go? I said, well, I'll just send you. He said, I'm ready to go. You better be careful about praying now. He'll just take you up to your way. Had a lady to come down sometime back in a distant city. That Mr. Caldwell, I want to be used of God. What'll I do? I said, be usable. Not only will he use you, but he'll wear you out. Glory to God, you want to be used. Be usable. He's looking for people working this wheat field. The harvest is ripe and the harvest is plenty, but the labors are few. And the Holy Ghost is the one that sends the labors out there. He knows where the wheat is and knows where the tares are. And no use you try to convert an old tire. That's an old reprobate. I had the birth from a hill. He never will be saved. You'll fight an unnecessary battle. What's the use you go out there and try to convert these old tires? Great God, I about kill myself trying to convert these old tires. Convert these old false prophets. You couldn't convert the devil. And don't try. What are the tires? The reprobates, bastard wheat, children of the devil, sown in God's wheat field by the devil. But are you listening? These tires resemble wheat, except that the grains are black and smutty. They got grains. But there's black and smutty, and not a hog, not a dog, nobody would eat those old tires. They're fit for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of man. Question number 4. What is the nature of tires? I'd like to know that, wouldn't you? Well, the Bible tells you 5 things about them. First, it said they're fixed and settled. They're fixed and they're settled, and there'll never be anything but that. Now, they'll make a decision. Oh, yeah. And these false preachers get the old tires to make a decision and get them in the church so they can corkscrew a little money out of them. And then they employ them so they won't stink so bad, and here they move. And you can move on that stuff and move them any way you want to. But my God, what'll the end be? Second thing about the nature of tires is that they never turn into wheat, and wheat never turn into tires. See? Whoever heard tell of a hog turning into a sheep? Did you ever read about that? Whoever heard tell of a dog turned into a pony? There is an eternal law in an eternal world, and you cannot separate. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I think it's verse 6 somewhere there, you'll find it. God said, who made you to differ? You talk about a verse that tired the devil out of you. Who made you to differ? I think I told you about to tell you again. My wife and I sleep in the same room, but we have 2 different beds, and she likes that, and it's all right with me. And we read. I was reading, I stopped, I said, Miss Carwell, what, Bishop? I want to ask you a question. What? How come that you're born in America by a God-fearing mother, and not born in Africa by a heathen mother sitting over there at this moment worshiping idols? How come that? And I don't know, but I said, I do. God that made you to differ. Miss Betsy Griffin, how come that you're sitting here in America in a fine home with a good husband, with the privilege to hear the gospel, while there's thousands and thousands of people in Africa eating everything under God's high head except the proper food? No gospel, no nothing. How come that? My God, if you ever see that, you talk about a responsibility. That'll shake you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, and it'll put something in you that you want to go to Africa. Tell that one about you. Oh, you know, a little colored girl in Africa sitting in a heathen mother's lap. Oh, my God, if I could wake up the men in this country and let them see something, you're going to face them to judge me. It'd be good to face it now. Another thing about tires is that the tires and the wheat grow side by side in God's wheat. They never cross. Not only that, something else about the nature of tires is that the tires grow worse and worse. Look like they're having a good time while they're green, but wait a minute. The harvest is coming, and they're grown worse and worse and black and smutty and move toward an eternal end. Explain it. I'm not here to explain nothing. I'm here to proclaim. Final thing about the nature of tires is that the tires ripe for ruin. They get ripe for the burning. Wheat are getting ripe for the farm. Well, aren't you feeling sorry? No, my Lord said, the wheat is the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the devil. And if you find out who the devil is and who his youngins are, you will not be the same. See? Who crucified the Lord? It was the ministerial union in Jerusalem. A bunch of backslidden, devil-called preachers that nailed the Son of God to the cross. And I challenge any preacher to investigate the four Gospels. All Caiaphas, the president of the ministerial union in Jerusalem, and he railroaded the Son of God to the cross. There they were, making fun and wagging their heads and gambling over his garments. While the Son of God is bleeding and dying, well, they ought to be sent to hell. And they will be. God knows what he's doing. Did it ever occur to you, and God got ready to write this Bible, and never said nothing to you about it? That's the smarter man as I am. God got ready to create this world, never said a thing to me. Said, Caldwell, I don't need you, and I make the sun, moon, and stars. I made the earth and made man. I didn't need you. And he hasn't needed me since. I've needed God. Whenever you find out that God don't need you, and that God owes you nothing but hell can pay you off in a minute, you'll be in a different category. Question number 5. Who will separate the tares from the wheat? Well, it tells you the plain that the angels. Didn't they say that? Angels. That word angel means a messenger. It means an instrument. And that's all. Whether it be angelic beings or human beings, nobody in the world knows but Almighty God. What a job. Who done away with the old prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel? Wasn't it Elijah? Talk to me tonight, children. It was Elijah that despised the man of God, that sentenced them, said, take them down, and cut their heads off. And they did, and they never shed a tear. But that's a bunch of tires. They come down. They tore up everything around here now. Head cutting off time. Turn around. Take them down. And cut their heads off. But are you listening? The same angels that gather the wheat will bundle, bind, and burn the tires. Same angels that took Lot out of Sodom, burn Sodom. The same angels that gather the wheat into the barn will put the wicked in hell. Matthew 13:49-50. So shall it be at the end of the world. Angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, take the tares away from the wheat, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. It was the love of God. Told Abraham, take Isaac up yon and kill him. Grace hadn't intervened. He had to kill that boy. And he meant to. He has the sword drawn back. As much as he loved Isaac, it said, God, I love you better. And I love you more. And if this is what you're calling for, here's the final stroke that will kill Isaac. About that time, God said, Wait a minute, Abraham. I've tested you. I found that you sure enough going to mean business. Abraham, wait a minute. There's a ram caught up here in the bushes. Go take that ram out of the bushes and he'll take Isaac's place. And Jesus Christ was our ram cut out of the wood, took our place, and shall cast him into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing. I've often wondered how I'd feel. God said, Carwell, some of your members are going to have sling in hell. That'd be hard on me. Question number 6. What is this great separation? The angel shall gather, come forth, and sever. The word sever means to tear apart. Shall sever the wicked from among the just. What is this great separation? Are you listening? It's the wheat separated from the chaff. Second, it's the wheat separated from the tares. Third, it's the good fish separated from the bad. They've all been swimming in the same pond. And fourth, it's the foolish virgin separated from the wise. Fifth, it's the sheep separated from the goats. And sixth, it's the righteous separated from the wicked. And seventh, it's the prophet of God separated from a devil called preacher. There'll come a time when God's going to separate us. Both been pressed in the same city. Both have big fine churches. God's had time to come in. I'm going to expose both of you fellows and separate you. Matthew chapter 24, if you turn quickly, look at it. You need to see it with both eyes. Matthew chapter 24, verse 45 to 51. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? _ wise servant, that's God's old prophet. Now, how can I tell? Well, look what it does. Wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household. To do what? To give them meat in due season. God's old prophet will give you meat in due season. It won't be a hot dog either. Nothing wrong with eating a hot dog, but spiritually there would be. He'll give you meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. See? They had a bigger job to do yonder than I'd have here. But and if that evil servant, _ that evil servant. Now, how can I tell a devil called preacher from God's man? Well, read the scriptures and notice it. That evil servant, what's he going to do? He shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. And shall begin to smite his fellow servant. Who does the smite? Ah, look at it. That devil called preacher will start fighting God's old man. I've never fought no preachers. But they fought me all the way down. God will put them in hell for that. You hear me tonight? Two preachers in a fight. Who makes the attack? This evil servant does what? He began to smite his fellow servant and to eat and drink with the drunken. He's an old worldly guzzler, eating and drinking, having all these shindigs in the churches, all of these ball games and everything under God's high heaven in the church. There he is. Now, you don't need any commentary. Look at it. The Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall do what? Shall cut him asunder. Take this wicked servant and put him in hell, and turn God's old prophet over to handle the Lord's people. And shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with who? with the hypocrites, and he must have been a hypocrite, and he was. No, a hypocrite playing like God's man when he wasn't. Upon him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ladies and gentlemen, this great separation is coming. God's going to separate this situation as certain as I am standing before you tonight. Question number 7 in closing. What is the kingdom of our Father? Matthew 13:43, then's an adverb of time. When God takes the bad fish out, he leaves the good. When he takes the goats out, he leaves the sheep. When he takes the foolish virgin out, he leaves the wise. When he takes out the tares, he leaves the wheat. Everything is taken out of this earth. And then what? Read it. Then, and all of this stuff is taken out, then shall the righteous shine. Glory to God, we're going to shout and shine. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath heirs to hear, let him hear. If God's given you 2 heirs that you can hear, for God's sake, hear. See this great separation? Yeah. What do you think about it? Are you a good fish or a bad? Well, I'm a virgin. You could be a foolish virgin. That's still not answering the question. Are you an old goat button, God's poor little old sheep here on this earth, picking the same grass, but the button is different? Are you a tare, growing side by side the wheat in God's wheat field, and you're smutty, you're black, you're dirty, you got a black heart and a smutty nature? That wheat just ripe and bows its head in humility, turns a golden color, and said, Father, I'm ready now for you to gather me into your great barn. That old tire, black and smutty, not fit for nothing, he's been growing, enjoying the sunshine, the water, the rain, and everything, all the goodness of God he has enjoyed. But the hour's coming, and the harvest is ripe, and the reapers are here, and God's going to bring this thing to an end. And what an end! And what an end! Ladies and gentlemen, it would pay you to get on God's mourner's bench, not your mourner's bench, God's mourner's bench, and get on God's operating table. And do like David. He said, O Lord, I want you to search me. O Lord, I want you to try me. O Lord, I want you to prove me. I think I'm all right, but God, I might not be. Search me, O Lord. Try me, O Lord. Prove me, O Lord. If I be all right, and if I'm not, I want you to operate and start now. I've said to God time and again, God, if I'm not preaching the gospel, I'd like to. If I can find out what it is, I will. I've said, God, if I'm not saved, I sure would like to be. I never have wanted to go to hell. I'm afraid that these little gooberheads jump up. I know that I know. Shut up! You don't know anything. Pray God, men that are saved, they're filled with humility and they're laying a hold of God. Like a lady in Greenville called a certain preacher. I'll not tell you his name. Called a certain preacher. You mind giving me your experience? He said, I don't give my experience. I'll give you my hope. Who wants your experience? Nobody. But I'd like to know what your hope is. And this preacher said, Sister, I don't give my experience. I'll give you my hope. Bible said Christ in you is the hope of glory, and that's the only hope you've got. I wouldn't give a dime for your experience. I care nothing about that. Judas had some kind of an experience and wound up in hell. But oh, Judas had no hope. You could have a hope. Shall we bow and pray? Our Father, take the message of the hour. Search out our heart, O Lord God. I want to be a wheat and not a tare. Bless the little family of faith tonight, and take this tape, and wherever it may go, use it for the glory of God. For we pray in Christ's lovely name. Amen. Goodbye. God bless your heart. I hope to see you next Sunday morning at 10:30.